In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising, and we've come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of his people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who's to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. And then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." And when they heard the king, they set out and were there ahead of them went the star, and they had seen it at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. And then they saw that the star had stopped. They were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage, and they opened their treasure chests, and they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night and went to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, "Out of Egypt I have called my son." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Some people like stargazing. I'm not referring to Hollywood celebrities, although some people like to do that as well. I'm talking about the stars in the night sky. On a clear night, you can look up and you see several tiny twinkling lights up in the sky. Or if you get away from the city lights and it's a clear night, then it seems almost like a vast carpet of these tiny twinkling lights. Of course, you and I both know they're not really so tiny. By way of comparison, to get a sense of the size, let's say that the Earth, that's the planet we're on, let's say the Earth is the size of a quarter, okay? If the Earth is the size of a quarter, the star closest to us, our sun, would be 3 steps. So from where I'm standing to the pulpit represents the size of our sun if Earth is the size of a quarter. And you can tell that our sun is many times larger than planet Earth. But our sun is basically an average star. There are much bigger stars. Take, for example, Antares. Now, if I were to walk off the distance for Antares, I'd have to start here in this building and walk to Kellogg Community College and actually a little bit farther to get the size of Antares if the Earth is the size of a quarter. And Antares is not even the biggest. There's another star called Betelgeuse. It's 10,000 feet wide if the earth is only a quarter. That definitely wouldn't fit in here. In fact, it could swallow up Antares and our sun and a great many more as well. But the thing is, all of these immense flaming giants were willed into existence by the command of God. Genesis tells us of their creation, almost with an offhand, oh, by the way, sort of remark. Listen. And God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. If we turn to the book of Psalms, we get a much more personal and up-close account. God determines the number of stars, gives to all of them their names. The God and Creator who created the mighty stars and named them all called these same stars into his service. God used the stars to announce and illustrate his purposes as the story of our salvation unfolded through history. Through our spiritual forebears, Abraham and Sarah, God promised to bless all the peoples of the earth. God would cause a great nation to arise from their descendants, and through that family line, all the families of the earth would be blessed. Even though Abraham had no children, not even one, God said to him, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. So shall your offspring be." And Abraham believed the Lord, and he counted it to him as righteousness. Out of the countless multitude of Abraham and Sarah's descendants, one particular shining star of wonder, would arise. This star of wonder would be a person, not an object. Now, I realize that the popular Christmas and Epiphany carol, We Three Kings, talks about the star of wonder. And there is this light in the sky that led the Magi to Bethlehem. And that's fine. But I have to ask, who or what is the real star of wonder? Isn't it the one before whom they knelt and worshiped and gave their precious gifts? Going back to the promise God made to Abraham and Sarah, we know the family line grew into a great nation. The Israelites, though once enslaved in Egypt, were set free by God and led on their way to the promised land. During this journey in the wilderness, God spoke to them through the prophet Balaam, who's kind of an interesting character. Originally, he was one of those prophets for hire, okay? And the king of Moab hired him to curse the people of Israel. Well, it's in a fascinating story in the book of Numbers that you can read about later. But the upshot is that God would not allow Balaam to curse the Israelites. In fact, the prophet Balaam ended up blessing the people of Israel. And so Balaam spoke of a star to rise out of Israel. He says, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel." At some point in the future, a rising star, a scepter-wielding king would arise in Israel and crush the enemies of God's people. And when the time was right, God sent the promised king, the blessing to the nations and to the world. And we know this blessing as Jesus, the child of Bethlehem. God used a star to announce the birth. Philosopher priests from Persia called Magi studied the stars and may have been familiar with the words of the prophet Balaam, who talked about a rising star and a scepter-wielding king. They saw the special star and went to look for the child, the promised heaven-sent ruler. All right, by the way, going back to We Three Kings, there may be a little confusion here caused by the song. You see, the Magi were not royalty, okay? They were not kings. They may have advised kings, but they were not rulers themselves. We do not know how many there were. And at this point, I hear gasps usually when I say this. We know there were three. Well, we don't know there were three. It doesn't say there were three. It only mentions three different kinds of gifts, the gold, the incense, and the myrrh. And from that, people assume there may have been just three. But the earliest tradition is that there were 12 of them, okay? But whether it was three or 12 or somewhere in between, they went to Jerusalem to find a new king, but instead found an old one, Herod, who was not at all happy to learn that there was a newborn king in his realm. After consulting with the temple priests and the scriptures, the Magi set off again, once more led by this star, and went to find the new king. The star led them to Bethlehem, as the scriptures have foretold, where they found the true king, the King of Kings. They worshipped him and offered him gifts of immense value and returned to their home. The promised star, the promised king, had arisen in Bethlehem. Now, the words of the prophet Isaiah were fulfilled in the birth of this rising star, the star of wonder. Isaiah says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples. But the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you. And the nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising." God, the creator of all the stars, took on human flesh and was born in the village of Bethlehem. Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of Mary, grew to preach and teach and heal. And when the right time came, he was crucified for the sins of our world, for all of our sins. On a very dark day, when the light of our star, our sun, grew dim, Jesus took on himself the penalty we deserved. But on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to be exactly who he said he was. And by God's grace, through faith in Jesus' name, we have the blessings of forgiveness, a restored purpose, and eternal life. The crucified and risen Lord, speaking to his apostle John, described himself as a star. Jesus said, "I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star." Now, when we use that term, morning star, usually when we say that term, morning star, we're actually talking about a planet, the planet Venus. And when the planet Venus appears in the sky just before sunrise, it is referred to as the morning star. Now, it can also appear at sunset, and so sometimes it's referred to the evening star. But our focus here is on the morning star. So when you see Venus as the morning star, it's a sign that daylight is coming. And that's the sense that is being used to describe Jesus when we say Jesus is the morning star. With Jesus' arrival, we now have this amazing sign that tells us the daylight is coming. He is the morning star. His birth, life, death, resurrection, and ascension are the sign that we are living in what the scriptures refer to as the last days, the time before our Lord Jesus will return in glory, glory that will outshine the rising sun. Before his return in the last day, according to the Gospel of Matthew, the mighty created stars that for so long ruled the night will fall from the sky. Jesus' return will be the dawning of the new and eternal day when we will live in the Lord's presence forever. On that day, and by the way, no one knows that day, only God knows that day. So if you hear someone on television tell you they know the day, you can be sure they don't. Anyway, on that day, those who have died in Christ will be raised from their graves, transformed and glorified. And those who are still living at his return will also be transformed with heavenly glory that the Apostle Paul compares to the glory of the stars. 1 Corinthians 15. There are heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory of the heavenly is of one kind and the glory of the earthly is of another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for star differs from star in glory. We will live forever in the presence of God, where our most familiar star, our sun, will no longer be needed. Scripture says of the saints in glory, they will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Now, until that bright and shining day, we have some shining to do. Jesus said, we're the light of the world. So we mustn't hide our light. We must show the light. The light of Christ is love, is peace. We're to tell others the good news of Jesus, the morning star who came to give his life for the sin-darkened world. As shining lights, the Holy Spirit will work through our shining witness to the gospel in order to turn people to the righteousness that is theirs through faith in Jesus Christ, a gift of God that cannot be earned, but is so wonderfully and amazingly offered to us. When our Lord, our morning star, returns, we will be raised to shine like stars in his presence. In the words of the prophet Daniel, and many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the sky above, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. According to an old legend, on the way to Bethlehem, the Magi stopped at a home. And there they met a woman, and they told her, "We have seen his star in the east, and we're going now to worship him." "Oh," she said, "I've heard about this. I've been looking forward to his coming." Tell you what, let me just get my house in order, and then I'll follow you and go see him. But by the time she had completed all her work, the Magi were no longer to be seen, and the light in the sky no longer shone, and she never did see Jesus. Jesus Christ, the morning star, has been disclosed to you. If the morning star has been disclosed to you, then seek him now with all your heart.